We are in Doctrine and Covenants section 37 and 38 today, and both have to do with the Lord giving this command for the church to move to Ohio. And so I'm going to put them together. And the one thing I wanted to point out in section 37 is in verse 4. It says, "Behold, here is wisdom. Let every man choose for himself until I come." And I love that because as a parent, it is really hard to wrap my head around the fact that there is choice. We are a church of liberty. And much as I don't like that, the older my kids get, that is what we are. And I loved Elder Oaks's talk in conference as he talked about the Constitution. And it was really one that pricked my heart that all of us have the responsibility to pray and get a confirmation of who we will vote for and what we support in political. We just had this very contentious political year. And we get to vote, and we should not, any of us, point our fingers at anyone else and question what their witness from the Spirit was. And it really touched me and was kind of a humbling thing for me. And it did get to a point where I just quit talking about it, quit reading Facebook or social media, because I just really was like, I have peace with my decision, and I really can't listen to anyone else because it's all so negative. And so I loved President Oaks's talk, which really talked about this. And I think part of the reason that we really balk against the whole liberty and choice is because people choose differently than we do. And it's really hard as a parent to see our kids make decisions different than we would have them make. We don't want to see them suffer the consequences of choices we feel are wrong and that we know are wrong. And yet, that is what we were sent here to do. We were sent here to learn to choose God, right? And so I love that verse. And so now jumping in to 38, it just so much goes with this. And as we jump into 38, I was re-listening to the first session of conference, and Elder Eyring's talk on temples came. And one of the things that he talked about is when President Kimball married he and his wife, one of the things he said to them is, be prepared that when the call comes, you can walk away easily. And that so goes with these two sections, as the saints are being asked to walk away from their homes and their jobs and so much that they have put their lives into. Sidney Rigdon has done this. And yesterday we talked about, Let me look here. Sidney Rigdon. Oh, it was Sidney Rigdon. And then the day before we talked about Edward Partridge, sorry. And just so many examples of people who truly gave up everything for the gospel. And here the Lord's asking them once again to walk away and leave their homes and their farms. And it seems like he asked this again and again and again. And so Elder Eyring's talk went so well with this, and I loved it. Okay, so verse 1. One of the things I loved is he talks about himself, bears witness again of himself as being Christ, the Creator. One of the things he does that we haven't heard up to this time is he describes himself and then says the wide expanse of eternity and the seraphic host of heaven before the world was made. And I just love that he explains himself this way. So that we know there was a premortal and a postmortal existence, that eternity is a wide expanse, this is a blip of time, and that he dwelt there with all of the angels in heaven, and we will again. And I love that. We will be immortal, the angels in heaven, after he comes, the second coming. We weren't before, but I love that. And I love that that leads right into verse 2, which is that he knoweth all things. All things are present before him. He is omniscient. And it's such a testimony that he is a witness of everything. And every single section that we've had, as he's called them by name and talked to them, it is so evident. It is virtually a book of patriarchal blessings that he knows us, and he is very aware of what we go through. And I just love that. Okay, verse 3, he talks about creating the world. Again, that's by the priesthood power. Verse 4, I love that he mentions Enoch in the Bible, because these people who have studied the Bible are very familiar with Enoch, and that he takes Enoch to his bosom, which means close to him, and they dwell with him. He is our advocate. Verse 5, but behold, the residue of the wicked I have kept in darkness, chains of darkness. They have to seek, they have to want light for that to change. And again, that goes back to that section where it says their works were works of darkness. That's what they sought for. So that's not him. That is him saying that is what they're seeking, and I'm going to keep them there until they change their mind of what they want. You don't accidentally happen into a testimony. You have to be seeking, and I love that. Case 7. I say unto you, mine eyes are upon you, and I am in your midst, even though you cannot see me. And I love this testimony. Won't it be amazing when we return to heaven and we see all that God did in our life that we are so unaware of? He is so aware. And I love that so much. Verse 8, the day soon cometh that ye shall see and know that I am. And I love this because he says the veil of darkness will be rent, and he that is not purified will not abide the day. That goes right back to section 35, verse 21, where we pointed out, you will hear my voice, you will see me and not be asleep, and you will abide the day. I love that so much. Those in the veil of darkness won't be able to abide the day. And the gift is that the Holy Ghost helps us. He strengthens us. God makes us equal to the task. We are purified through him, and we are able to abide the day. And I love that it goes with that scripture of every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Even those who have been seeking works of darkness will say he is the Savior. And just in reading in the New Testament, as he comes and casts out those spirits, that legion of spirits in that man, and they ask to go into the pigs, and there's 2,000 pigs that run off the cliff, and he commands them to be quiet because they are bearing witness he is the Savior. That's what it is. Even those who seek works of darkness know who he is, and he is the God of the whole earth. And I think that is amazing. So then in 9, gird up your loins, prepare, the kingdom is yours. I love it. It's yours for the taking. The enemy will not overcome. And just these powerful, powerful people that he is in their midst. And we know that as we read back on all of these trials and these hard, hard things they went through. Man, how much we love these early converts and how much we have gleaned for what they sacrificed on our behalf. But it's obvious to us, even in all of these trials, he is in their midst and so aware of them. And I love that. Okay, verse 10, verily I say unto you, ye are clean. And that means he knows they have weaknesses. He knows they have sins. Ye are clean, but not all. And I love that because he knows our trials. He knows the lost pages. He knows the questioning. He knows they've made mistakes. And yet it ends with, I am well pleased. And that should be such a testimony to those of us at this time who are striving, who are aimed every morning at trying to be who the Lord needs us to be, who start our day praying to be who he needs us to be. That's what he wants, and he is so pleased. He knows we have weaknesses. He knows we have things that we need to work out, but isn't the point to become those who choose every day to pair with him and turn to him. That's the whole purpose, is to learn to choose him. Okay, verse 12, which causes silence. Oh, he talks about the darkness in verse 11. For all flesh is corrupted, the powers of darkness prevail on the earth. So again, that's because there's difference and we have to learn to choose him. 12, which causes silence to reign and all eternity is pained and the angels are waiting. And I love that it says that, because they are up there praying for us, hoping for us to accomplish what we came here to do. And it just is so neat to me that they also are involved in this and very invested in this. I know my dad's on the other side doing things he could no longer do in this life, and praying for us and rooting for us and doing whatever is in his power. God exists to make life easier for us and to help us accomplish that if it is our desire. I love that. Okay, and it goes on to talk about the secret chambers. So again, it's the Gadianton robbers and the evil on the earth. Verse 16, and for your salvation, I give unto you a commandment, for I have heard your prayers. And I love this because he talks about the poor have complained, the rich have I made, all flesh is mine, and I'm no respecter of persons. And I really looked at that verse and thought, what is he talking about? The poor have complained, the rich have I made. What I think it means is he hears and knows all. He is no respecter, black, white, bond free. Rich, remember that parable that it's harder for a rich man to come than the camel to go through the eye of a needle? Everyone has weakness. Everyone has struggles. God is no respecter of persons, because everyone has things they are coming. There is no one that has an easy life. Not a single person on this earth. Not apostles, not the people in Africa. And every person needs God. And I think that's what that means. I love that so much. Okay, verse 23. But verily I say to you, teach one another according to the office wherein I have appointed you. 24, and let every man esteem his brother as himself, and practice virtue and holiness before me. That means choose me, choose me. And I love that, because when it says teach each other, it means in your office that you're appointed. As a parent, teach your children. In your callings that you're appointed. And the reason it says that is because guess what? You don't have jurisdiction, just as Oak said. I don't get to call everyone else out. I don't get to post on Facebook and tell you if I disagree with your opinion politically. I don't get to call you out if your struggle is different than mine. Do you remember when Uchtdorf said, don't judge me because I sin differently than you? We all have things we're struggling with, and our job is to love. So if I am not, and I am not called over you politically, I am not called, none of us are called politically over each other, but I'm not called over you, then I have no right to point out to you what your struggles are and to say to you what you should do. That's your right for personal revelation, and it's your right as a mom and a dad for your children. My job is to love. And I love that scripture because I feel like it just so emphasizes that. Okay, 29, you hear of wars in far countries and you say, there will soon be great wars in far countries, but you know not the hearts of men in your own land. And again, that just goes exactly with the Gadianton robbers and the evil that is here, that is allowed to be here so that we choose. And that is the purpose of this life, is to choose God. And it is obvious the wages of he who we list to obey. There are a million stories here. There are a million examples we have. I remember challenging my own children and my seminary kids. Give me one example we have where someone chose differently, chose wickedness, and ended up happy. There isn't one. And then we go to verse 32. Wherefore, for this cause, I give unto you a commandment that ye should go to Ohio. There will I give you my law, and there ye shall be endowed with power from on high. They don't know. They know there are blessings, but they're going to have a temple. And man, the ordinances and the covenants and the blessings that await them. Holy cow. And it just gives me chills what the Lord has for them. this sacrifice of their homes, this sacrifice again. But man, what God gives is so much greater. And I love in 33 that he compares it to Israel and compares it to Moses, that they will be led. And I love that he says to them, I shall go forth among all nations, and it shall be told them what they shall do. For I have a great work laid up in store, for Israel shall be saved. And I will lead them whithersoever I will, and no power will stay my hand. Which means just don't even worry. Go where I tell you to go. I will lead you. I will be in your midst, and nothing will overpower me. He is the God of the whole earth. And I love in 35, and they shall look to the poor and the needy and administer to their relief so that they do not suffer. These people have given everything, and yet there's always someone who has less than you. God doesn't say, except for you who walked away from your farms, except for you who fill your poor and have nothing. He always commands us to give. There is always someone who has less. And there are so many blessings that come to us when we sacrifice and desire to give. And that just is so beautiful to me as I think of these people who had given everything. And God says, give. There's such blessings held to that. And I just love that. It really made me go, okay, we got to do better. Okay, in 41, and let your preaching be a warning voice, every man to his neighbor, in mildness and meekness. Do not stand there and call out your neighbor, but make it out of love. Please come with me. Come with me. God wants us all. Come with me. In 42, and go you out from among the wicked. What he means is go out from the world, save yourselves, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Go, I have a place for you. I am gathering you, all these 300 people. This is how many people that have come to the church. This is astronomical from the six that were the first members. This is so huge to them, 300. Go to Ohio. Quit worrying about the persecution. I want you to come be in my bosom like Enoch's people and be mine. And I will teach you, and I will give you the temple, and it will be a safe haven from the world. And the Lord will continue as the persecution continues to guide them further and further and further west. And how grateful I am for these amazing sacrifices and these amazing people, because we have so benefited from that. And when it talks about obedience and being prospered, man, how we have been prospered from the sacrifices they made. It is such a gift. I love these sections, and I love these examples of obedience. We are a church of liberty, and the point is to choose every day to pair with God. I hope you know the church is true, and more than that, I hope you know how much the Savior loves you.